Good evening. We are on Parashat Behar. Parashat Behar, Shmini, Toishim, Emor.
It's Mark.
Behar. Ah, it's Mark. Oh, very good, very good. Okay, we are in Parashat Behar. Behar, Behar. No, this is Bechukotai. This is Behar. וידבר השם אל משה בהר סיני לאמור, the first פסוק. You can't find it? ויקרא בהר. אוקיי. All right. So. וידבר השם אל משה בהר סיני לאמור. Interesting question, but I think they speak Hebrew because Hebrew is the language that the world was created. So that's the holy language. So definitely they speak Hebrew. וידבר השם אל משה, though, it's not speaking like you understand. It's not, it's God speaking, you know. It's a different way. We don't understand this. It's not. Okay. It's like on Kabbalah you learn there is something that you don't talk about. That's God himself. You don't talk about God himself because you don't understand it at all. You only talk about the things underneath it. Shekhinah and all the names of God, that when we talk about them, this is not the Almighty, this is underneath it. It's levels. Okay, we're not going into it. Anyway.
Is that Kabbalah?
What?
Is that Kabbalah?
Kabbalah. Okay. So God is talking to Moses in the Mount of Sinai and tells him, "Daber ebnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem ki tavoru el haaretz asher ani noten lachem v'shavta haaretz shabbat la'Hashem." We talked about it in the past also. When you come to Eretz Israel, the land that I'm giving to you, v'shavta haaretz shabbat la'Hashem. V'shavta haaretz, what's the meaning? And the land will rest. Like Shabbos. And this is very strange. What is it really telling us? When you come to Eretz Israel, what's the first thing you do? The land will rest. I didn't walk one day, didn't do anything.
And so we start with everything is going to be ready for Shabbos.
Yeah, but he talks about Shabbos before he talks about the 6 days, if you understand what I mean. It's like I'm saying, okay, Shabbos, we start with Shabbos. We don't start with Shabbos, we start with the 6 days. And also here, we start with working, and then we stop working on Shemitah here. Talking about Shemitah.
Yeah.
And the next pasuk is explaining to us. Yes, yeah, it's okay, don't worry. 6 years you will work on the fields, and then at the 7 years, Shabbat L'Hashem. So, okay. So, if this is the case, so the first pasuk, we don't need it. Meyutah. Why? Because we can say very simply, Va'amarta elehem, ki tavor el haaretz, sorry, we don't need ki tavor el haaretz. You see, 6 years tizra sadecha, 6 years tizmor karmecha, ve'asafta et tvuata, u'bashana ha'shvi'it shabbat shabbaton, yeh la'aretz shabbat la'Hashem. And I understand exactly what you mean. So why is the Torah telling us twice the same thing? And why it starts with the shabbaton, with the Shemitah year, and not with... I was supposed to be the right order. 6 years you will work, and then in the 7th year, you rest.
So they're getting their reward before they do anything else.
It's not even a reward. It's like
the best of the best.
Yes. So the thing is, why is the Torah?
Jewish people would be very lucky.
Yeah, but that's not what the intention. The intention is that you're not going to come and. First of all, do Shemitah. No, you're going to work for 6 years, and then you do Shemitah. So the question is, why did the Torah start with the Shemitah instead of start how it starts the next pasuk? 6 years you will work, and then at the 7th year you do Shemitah. And also, if we have the all explanation, we don't need the other pasuk. We don't need it. You're already saying 6 years you will work, and then the 7th year, the land will rest. What did you say before? The land would rest. So I don't need the land would rest. You're telling it to me anyway, and in the right order. So we must understand, why is the Torah telling us the same thing twice, and why is the Torah starting with the Shabbat and not with the 6 years? And the answer is very simple. Why is it simple? You see, first of all, as we always say, this is not a story, and this is not something that happened years ago, and it's not something that we have to understand only on the surface. We have to understand the idea behind it. Why did we come to Eretz Yisrael? What's the reason?
To be able to work the land and to build it up.
That's the reason we came here?
No. To be close to God, because this is our land.
To keep the Torah.
It's ours. To do the mitzvot.
Oh, 1 minute. Let's understand. What is our purpose here in Eretz Yisrael? What is our purpose in the world? Why did we come to this world?
To get close to God.
Oh, to get close to God. Okay, now we start on talking. And you come to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the most holiest place in the world. The Chatam Sofer says that the only place where you can do the mitzvahs in a proper way is Eretz Yisrael. So what is God really telling us? We come to Eretz Yisrael, so we can, you know, we're talking about now coming to a land. You have to work. You have to try and bring parnosa. And sometimes you get muddled up. You don't understand what is the more important, what is less important. You don't have the right balance in the things you do. Why? Because you get so involved with the parnasa that you forget why you're here. And that's exactly the thing. You have to work for 6 years, by the way. You have to work. Because if you don't work 6 years, you cannot not working on the seventh year. Mi shetarach be'erev Shabbat, Yochal b'Shabbat. Those who work on Erev Shabbos and prepare Shabbos, they have something to eat on Shabbos. But one who doesn't prepare anything on Erev Shabbos has got nothing to eat on Shabbos. It's the same way here. But the Torah wants to tell us what is the task, what is the goal. The goal is exactly what's written in Ki tavoru el haaretz asher ani noten lachem. You will come to the land that I, God, give to you. Veshavta aaret Shabbat laHashem. Did you see what's here? Shabbat laHashem. The only reason that we are here is for the Shabbat laHashem. It's not that the land is resting. That's an idea. The idea is that what do you do on this year? This year you sit and learn Torah. This year you get closer to God. You don't work on the field. You just sit and do mitzvahs. You like, what's the idea of Shabbos? The same idea. For 6 days you work, and then on Shabbos you sit with God. You get close to God. How do you get close to God?
Studying Torah.
Studying Torah, sitting together with a family, loving each other, doing mitzvahs. That's why we're here. So some people can think, okay, if this is the goal, and the Torah is telling you, Ki tavor shavtar, let's do only Shabbat LaHashem. Let's sit here and learn Torah the whole day. And the whole years are going to be Shemitah year. What's the problem? If this is the goal, let's do this all the time. The same way, if you remember, we talked on Pesach. If Chometz is no good and Matzah is good, let's eat Matzah the whole year around. And we always will come to the same issue. Why? Because we have to understand what are we doing in this world. Why are we here? So if you will say that we are here to get closer to God, you're right. But we were very close to God as neshamas up there. So what's the problem? Why do we need to come here? Do you understand the question? Mm-hmm. And the answer is that when we got everything for free, we felt ashamed. Busha. It's like, you know, somebody is needy, and you give him and give him and give him. He doesn't feel good about it. We don't like, as we said last week, we don't like to even say thank you to somebody, like it, we owe him something. He did something good for me. Because we feel, we want to be the one on top.
Is that why Israelis don't say thank you for anything?
Who?
these people in Israel don't yes. say thank you.
Not everybody, yeah. some of them say.
Amazing. They don't know what thank you is.
Yeah.
This, and I tell you what it is, when you think that everybody owes you, that's exactly, that's the problem. That's exactly the problem.
Yes.
This is education. Now, when you think everybody owes you and you are like on the road, yes. everybody, yes. he owns the road.
Yeah, yeah. Sir. What
is
it? What did you
think? And my but that's why we sit here and learn to understand what is it all about. So first of all, if the idea was only spiritual idea, we could have stayed in Olam Haba. We could have stayed up there in heaven with God, and we didn't know to get to this world. But because the neshama is a very pure thing, it's a part of us, and we all know that we feel ashamed if we don't do anything for what we get. If somebody is giving you all the time, how do you feel? Good about it? No. How do you feel?
No,
no good.
Doesn't
give you a good feeling. So the neshama sat there and says, well, I don't want this free gift. So God said, you know what? No problem. I will build a world. I will put you in a body. And you will do the mitzvahs. And then you get the reward. But you know, it's very interesting. I don't know if we talked about it. But think about it. I come to my son, for example, and tell him, you know, I want you to bring a few bottles of drink from the Makolet, and I'll give you $1 million. What do you think? If he feels ashamed of getting free things, now he's going to feel proud because he brought me 6 bottles of Coke and I gave him $1 million? Or will have the same feeling?
Essentially,
you ask him.
The thing is, you will also feel. What did you say? If something worse. Can even feel worse. What is he joking with me? What? Everybody knows that you don't pay $1 million for 6 bottles of Coke.
But he'll think he's got an ulterior motive.
What?
He'll think you've got an ulterior motive.
Whatever it is, there is a problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't suit the rewards got nothing to do with what you do. So I will ask you a question. If this is the case, we are in this world for 70 years, okay? And then, for the mitzvahs we do, we're going to get what?
Reward in the next world.
What is the reward? What is Olam Haba? How long is this reward? How big is this reward?
Of all
that our sages tell us.
Eternity.
You cannot even imagine the reward.
That's right.
And it's for eternity. So I will tell you, what good did we do to the neshama? This is a joke. You bring the neshama to this world, you tell him to do a few mitzvahs, and then you give him a world for eternity, and a reward that is going to go on and on and on. How do you compare those things? Does this make good, the shame that you've got. What? Now you're going to stop feeling, you will feel proud? For what? For bringing 6 bottles of Coke and getting $1 million? Everybody understands that there's nothing to, no connection between the things. So what is the idea of the neshama coming to this world? And what is the idea of the reward? What did we say is the basic of everything? What is the basic of the whole Torah? What did Rabbi Akiva say?
Love your neighbor.
Ve'ahavta l'racha kamocha. Let's now put those things together. God want us to love Him. He loves us. He wants us to love Him and to love everybody else that He creates. Okay? Now, if a father who loves his son gives his son rewards, does the son feel ashamed?
Of course.
No.
Why?
Our rewards.
Yes.
No.
Your father gives you a present.
It's like if
you will feel ashamed about it?
No. Then it's
give your son a present. You buy him things. He's going to be ashamed?
No.
Why not?
Because he realizes that your father loves you.
Oh. So what's the reason? Love.
Lord.
In other words, what God wants from us is a relationship that is love. And when you love each other, yes, you accept the rewards and God gives you the reward and you don't feel ashamed about it because you love each other. You get, so in other words, the reason we're here is to get as close as we can to God. לדבק בגוד. To be glued to God. To connect to God. That's all the mission that we have here. That's the idea of all the mitzvahs. So in other words, the minute that we get closer to God, it doesn't matter how much we did. And it doesn't matter what is the reward. It's for infinity, it's forever, whatever it is, it comes from love. And if we, this is the relationship between us and our Father in heaven, would we feel ashamed now? So this is what God is telling us. When you come to Eretz Israel, v'shavta'al Shabbat l'Hashem, first of all, you have to understand what you're doing here. You are here to connect yourself to God. And the connection to God is through Shabbos. Every week, on Shabbos, and this year, also the same idea. Shnat Shmita is to get closer to God.
Israel.
Only Eretz Israel, because only Eretz Israel is the combination, as we said, of Am Israel, Eretz Israel, the Torah Israel. That's the only place.
The other people in
they have to come here.
Yeah,
if they want to get close to God, as we are, they have to come here. And if somebody thinks he doesn't have to come here, he says he's got a problem.
They have got a problem.
There are a lot of people who have problems. You know, we're not saying
they have got the schus.
It could be also. We have the schut, we are here, but we have to live to it. That it's not only a schut, it's also obligation, it's a duty. It's what do we do for what that God gave us this present and put us here? That's what he's telling us. What should we do? Shabbat l'Hashem. But now, if you will think that because the reason is Shabbat l'Hashem, so maybe we do only Shabbat l'Hashem. So then the next pasuk is telling you, no. Shesh shanim tizra sadecha. You have to work. You have to get to the physical world. Then you can come to Shemitah here. But if you don't work for 6 years, there is no Shemitah. If you don't work for 6 days, there is no Shabbos. This is something to understand what we're talking about.
So what is work? What is work?
What is work? Work is a lot of things. First of all, also on the physical side. In other words, today yesterday I talked about it. You see, today I think the Gemara says that a Talmid Chacham, he has to remember the Torah. He has to connect himself to the Torah. But what does it mean? What exactly is God expecting from us? God wants us to do whatever we can in order to get closer to Him. Now, we have levels. The Rambam says, if somebody can really sit the whole day and learn, but really learn, not messing around, God is going to provide. He doesn't have to worry about parnosa. Depends on the... It's not like I'm telling you, tomorrow you stop working, you stop there, you all sit and learn, and you don't need anything else, and God is going to pour on you all the bread, and you get everything, we're doing nothing. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that we are built, that's why everybody's got different talent. Also we see in Am Yisrael, every tribe got a different blessing. And then we had Yisachar and Zvulun, and they had an agreement. Yisachar sits and learns, and Zvulun provides, works. But you have to understand, Zvulun also learned in the yeshiva, part-time. It's not that Zvulun didn't learn at all. People are mistaken. They think that Zvulun only went out to work. He didn't do any learning. No, he learned the Daf Yom, he learned this, but he wasn't sitting the whole day in the yeshiva. But if somebody sits the whole day in the yeshiva, somebody has to provide. But imagine that all Am Yisrael are going to sit in the yeshiva. Who is going to provide?
Hashem.
So who's Hashem? Me. So
I'm telling you to work. It's like this well-known joke about this son-in-law that he gets married. So he says, so he's asking, "No, tell me what you're going to live from."
Yeah.
Says, "God will help." And what you're going to eat? God will help. And what you're going to wear? God will help. He says to have, he thinks I'm God.
No, because I had such an argument with someone about the Haredi, and she was running the Haredi dance, you know, Jew, and we've got to pay, this, you know, the usual argument, we've got to pay the taxes, and they sit at the yeshiva, and they're lazy, and they come and beg for money and we must provide. Oh, so now I have a horrible foot scenario.
You see, the thing is,
and this is what the impression, you know, this is what
that's what you're doing. Yeah, no, that's what we're talking about right
now.
First of all, you have to understand and realize that if you go to the Olam HaChavidi and you know it a little, you know that not everybody is sitting in the yeshiva on there. There are a lot of people that go and work. Absolutely. There are also a lot of people that go to the army.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's changing, thank God.
But, by the way, talking about changing, people forget that 100 years ago it wasn't like this at all. This is only a new invention.
It's a new world.
All this thing that somebody sits in the yeshiva the whole day and others are giving him money, it's a new invention. It was not in, let's say, 2-3 generations before, it didn't exist. Everybody had to work in the shtetl. They all worked. There was the rabbi and maybe a few others, like they call it 10 batlanim, that they were sitting and learning, but all the others were working.
But in Egypt, it wasn't a group that was only learning. In Egypt,
when you look in the Gemara, you see Yohanan Asandla.
He was a doctor. They were all.
And you will find out the Rambam. Rambam was a doctor.
He was everything. Yeah, so he didn't just.
And you will see. You look through. You will see that all the people that those big people used to work. The Chafetz Chaim had a makolet. Still, he decided to close it down. But in the beginning, he had a makolet.
I never saw my grandfather without a safer in front of him. When he ran a business, we came home.
That's the idea. Torah v'avodah. But that's the idea. You have to do ishtadlut. So okay, there are. You see, God wants us at the end of the day. Atem tiyuri mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. What is the job of a kohen?
To teach.
The kohen is supposed to sit and learn. And teach, and he's getting, and he is getting for this trumot, masrot. That's the Levi also. That's the way it's being built. But unfortunately, now it doesn't work like this. But this is the idea. So today we can call the kohanim and Leviim from this point of view those who sit and learn the yeshiva. But only if they really sit and learn. And you have to understand. If we think that equal means that everybody does the same, wrong. No society can survive if everybody's doing the same. Nevertheless, also a couple, a man and a woman cannot be together if they are the same. Doesn't work out. They have to fulfill each other. Sometimes even opposites. You see them, they connect and there is the best connection. But if there are, it's like when you build a chair and you want to put two pieces of wood together. If you put them like this, even if you glue them very good, I'm not talking about the special glues today, but the normal glue, at the end of the day, it will break because nothing is holding it. So what do? You do something like this. Now it cannot move.
The connection.
You have a connection. A part that goes in, the part that goes out. This way, now, you cannot move it, even without glue. Mm-hmm. But if it's like this, it moves. So in other words, in order to get to perfection, I need my other side. That's the way it works. It sounds maybe a little meshuggah, but that's, if you look at couples, you will find out that that's exactly what's happened. By the way, that's why a man is a man and a woman is a woman. They're not the same.
They complement each other.
Yes. That's why also the blessing we say, Bore nefashot rabot v'chesronan al kol meshabarat al achyot b'mefesh kol ha. What is this blessing? You created a lot of souls. Bore nefashot rabot v'chesronan. And what they missing? Is this a blessing? You're telling God you created men with defects? That they're missing things? You didn't make them perfect? But God says, of course, He will make them perfect. I created all the human being, all the souls, with something missing. Chesronam, missing thing. Why? Le'achayot nefesh kol chai. So everybody is going to revive the other. Everybody is going to give power to the other. Or I'm going to fulfill your loss. I am going to be the plus, you are going to be the minus. Only when the plus and the minus connect, you have electricity. And that's exactly the idea of the whole creation. So, also, when we talk about sitting and learning, not everybody can sit and learn the whole day. And if not those who don't, cannot, they will go and work and do the ishtatlut. So people will ask it, how, what's the ishtatlut and what's the thing? He says, it depends on you. Everybody's different. Just the more you trust in God, the less you need to do ishtatlut. The more you learn Torah, the less you need to do ishtatlut. And by the way, you can see it in business and everything. You think parnosa comes from here, it comes from there. If God wants to give you parnosa, it's no problem for him. But he said, "Bezeata pecha tochal lachem." You want parnosa? You have to do something for it. How much do I have to do? That's already a different issue. Depends on you. Sheshanim tizra sadecha. That's why I brought you to this land. And you have to understand that all the whole idea was also, it's like somebody, you have teachers. And if you think about it, Talmid Chacham is really, at the end of the day, a teacher. He's also, he's got a job. If he learns only for himself, it's no good. It's no good. You cannot just sit in yeshiva and learn the whole day and think that you did it. No, he did nothing. It says, Adam le'amal yulad. What is amal? Le'amal. Le'amal. Lilmod al menat lelamed. Rashi Tevot. Lilmod al menat lelamed.
You went tired?
Yes. Yes. Have you got a
paper?
And a paper. It's very interesting. Like everybody, when you look at it, you find out that in the word itself is written what you're supposed to do. In other words, it's not enough. It's not enough to learn. We say le'amal. Le'amal is to work. Okay, amal. Lilmod.
I didn't know.
Al menat lelamed. Lilmod, to learn, because so you can teach others. That's Adam le'amal yulad. So what is, you ask me, what's the job? What's your job? Your job is to learn Torah and teach others.
Ah, melamed.
Lelamed. Lilmod.
Melamed.
Okay.
Same a teacher.
In other words, everybody's got a job at the end of the day. There's nobody who just can sit and learn for himself, because if he sits and learns for himself, he is putting himself aside of Klal Yisrael.
So that's a chabrusa.
Yes. It's not only a chabrusa, it's even more.
Your family.
Chabrusa is only two.
It's a family, it's your congregation, yeah, whatever. That's the idea. When we say,
it's now you're doing it on your own.
That's what I'm saying. You're not by yourself. As we said, also now in Sfirat HaOmer. The idea is building myself, but with all the others. I'm not alone. So in other words, everybody's got a job. And everybody is different, as we said. That's why we have 12 different blessings to the Shvatim. Because each one had a different talent. And that's the way the world is built. It's like an army. You cannot have in the army only, let's say, tanks. What's going to happen if somebody comes from up there? You need air force. You need also chel raglim. You need intelligent. You need all the parts of the army. And we are the army of God. So also we have different talents, because God created us this way. That's the way he created us. He gave each one of us a different talent in order to build this big puzzle, which is called Am Yisrael, and then the whole world. It looks as a puzzle, and the puzzle is built like this.
Six.
Not six. It's, what I'm saying, this part is not the same as this one. There is no one part that is the same, but only if I put all the parts
together.
Then you have a picture.
Then I have the picture. For example, I'm just telling you to understand the idea. It can be a picture, a face, like this, and then you just take it parts as a puzzle. If you haven't got all the parts, you haven't got the face.
Missing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something is missing. So each one of us is a part of this puzzle. And it's not to say, I cannot take this piece here and put it here. Because it won't go. It will go like this. You cannot put it in.
Last year you gave such a beautiful story about puzzle and putting together and missing. I don't remember. Can you believe it?
We don't remember a lot of things, it's okay.
Don't worry. Gadi don't remember either. Now.
So, now we understand.
An artist? What was the story about this man who thought he was crippled, or he was blind or something?
Ah, the king.
Oh, this is with a picture.
The king.
This is with a king with a picture.
Yeah. Ah, this story.
Want somebody to draw him and to paint him and...
paint him as he...
Yes, somebody paint him exactly as he is. The other one paint him more and nicer than what he is. And the third one just painted him from the angle that showed the good... So the good picture.
Good.
I was talking about it last week.
But is this apropos when we were learning this?
All those things are connected together, because the whole idea is to look at your fellow man in a good eye, that to love each other, and each one of us to do his own job. And if each one of us do his own job, and together, this is Am Yisrael. So a part of us, yes, they should sit and learn in the yeshiva, but only if that's what they do. And they're doing an unbelievable job. It's also a job. But all the others, they have to do ishtadlut. That's why the Torah is telling us, Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod. V'yom Hashvi'i, 6 years you will work. And then, at the seventh year, you do Shemitah. Now this also understand this idea of Shemitah, or the idea of Shabbos. This is showing God that we believe in, which we understand at the end of the day, that we are not those who bring the Parnasa. Who is bringing us the Parnasa? God. That's why, the whole Shabbos, we don't do anything. We don't work. We don't talk about work. We don't talk. We don't have phones. We don't have anything. We are with Kodesh Baruch Hu. The same way, a whole year, we don't work. Today, it's very hard for us to understand it because we have no connection with the field, with Avodat Adama. We go to the supermarket and we buy our vegetables and our fruits and the bread. We don't understand
what.
Also, we don't understand even what it's all about. But the idea is very today. If you want to understand what it is, you go to somebody who grows things, and you ask him what is the meaning for a whole year
not to work.
Wow. It's not easy. That's why they called heroes. Giborei koach osei dvarot. Those who keep Shemitah, they are heroes. It's not simple. It's not easy. For us, we don't understand it so much. Because we live in the town. We've got... So we bought this year from the Makolet fruits from here and there. So Shemitah here, we bought fruits from outside. But we still have the fruits. We don't exactly understand and realize what it is to keep Shemitah. So this is why we have to understand the idea, because it's not only the idea of Shemitah as it is, it's the idea behind it. And the idea behind it is trusting God. Understanding that God is behind everything. And also understanding that we're equal, because what's happening also in Shemitah year, that the poor and the rich are the same. Because this guy has got a lot of fields, and the Shemitah year he has to give them away. Open the fields, and everybody can come and take whatever he wants. It's unbelievable. Not enough is not working. Also, what he's got there, everybody can take.
He can't benefit from it.
Yeah, so this is like, not only, how do you say, losing parnosa, it's also what you've got, others are taking. Yeah. This is trusting God.
Farmers, and now there's so few of them.
That's what I'm saying today. That's why it's so hard today to explain to somebody what's the idea of Shemitah. What's the idea behind it? And when we came here and most of the people are dealing with the fields and things, you all really feel Shemitah. What is Shemitah? And by the way, there are so many miracles because God is promising us an unbelievable thing. Because you have to think about it. When you ask somebody who knows about land, he will tell you that if you work the land for 2 or 3 years, you have to give the land a year of a rest, because otherwise it's not going to have the power to grow. Here the Torah is telling you, 6 years you're working the land. Nevertheless, at the sixth year, you will get
three times.
This is against nature. God tell you, Eretz Yisrael is not nature. Eretz Yisrael, yeah, I am here. And if you work for 6 years, you will see that the sixth year you will get for 3 years. Yes. One second.
No.
Okay. So this is an unbelievable thing. So, by the way, we're talking about Shabbos. You know, especially with taxi drivers, that they stopped working on Shabbos, they found out at the end of the month that they didn't lose anything. And for a taxi driver, Shabbos is the most busiest day in the week. So in other words, those who stopped working on Shabbos, and it's not one story, it's a lot of stories, they find out at the end of the month that they got exactly the same as before, without working on Shabbos.
There's a restaurant that closed on Shabbat. They were always open for years on Shabbat. And his son was bar mitzvah, and he said he wanted his father to close. So he started to close. And he says he makes more money now than he did when he
was on
Shabbat. Baruch Hashem.
Yeah.
So we see that when we keep the mitzvahs, we're not going to lose anything out of it. And we also understand the connection between the materialistic world and the spiritual world. There is a reason why we're here. We're here to connect ourselves to God. How do we connect ourselves to God? Through the work. That's the chametz and the matzah. We don't say all the year matzah. We don't say the whole year is Shabbos. No, that's not the idea. We came to this world to work, to do. So for 6 days, for 6 years, we work. Then at the seventh day, we stop working and we sit with God. And every seventh year, we also stop working and sit with God.
But before you make a question, what is work?
Mm-hmm. What I said, work is whatever, everything is a work.
What God gave you,
talent that you've got, you have to use it, to work with it. So even if you sit in the yeshiva, as we said, it's not enough to learn. It's lilmod, we say it in before Shema. Lilmod ulelamed lishmor velasot. As I said, let's imagine to yourself somebody who is learning to be a doctor. Okay? 7 years. After 7 years, they give him a job in hospital. He says, no, I don't want a job. And he goes to be a...
specialist.
No, he goes to clean the streets. And he hangs the certificate on the wall. He's a doctor. What would you say about somebody like this?
Crazy.
Michigan. Michigan.
But there is a law.
For 7 years you learn, and then you don't use what you learn?
Well, because he doesn't think he's capable.
Yes, the Russians.
Mm-hmm. The Russians did when they came first.
No, that's because they didn't have any option. I'm talking about somebody who they give him a job. I said, they give him a job, but he says, I don't want a job.
Yeah,
I'm going to clean the streets, or I'm going to sit at home, whatever. So everybody will look at him, you're stupid or something. You learned for 7 years, for what? You paid money, you put a lot of effort into it, and now you don't use it?
No one will do that. Is there someone that will do that?
It's stupid.
No one would do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what? So in other words, if you learn Torah, and you don't teach it to others, what does it mean?
You are
as stupid as this guy who learned to be a doctor and doesn't practice. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who goes, buys a car, learns how to drive it, gets the license, and then he closes the garage, he says, I'm not going to drive. Mm-hmm. So why did you learn? Why did you buy a car? Mm-hmm. So why did we come to this world? To use the talent that God gave us. God gave us talent,
and
of course. So in other words, this guy who sits and learns in this yeshiva, what is his job? To teach others. By the way, one of the, here in Ramallah, for example, the Koyle Laki'ilati, that's what they do. Which is beautiful. They sit and learn and also teach others. They go all around town and teach people.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the idea. So their job is to teach. And also when you sell stuff, you have to buy it, or you have to build it, and only then you sell it. So his job is, before he sells what he's got, he has to prepare himself.
That's your insight.
My son.
Okay.
I sent him a message.
I want to, there are a lot of stories that we can connect to the parsha, but I want to tell you, before we tell this, we're also talking here about slaves. What is a slave? We're talking about a Jewish slave. We have to release the slaves, and the Torah says a very interesting thing. This is in Shnat HaYovel. Shnat HaYovel is something amazing. Not 1 year you stop working, you don't work for 2 years, which is unbelievable.
They're going to pay you?
Hmm?
If you release the slave...
That's the now on Yovel, the 50th years, you release all the slaves. But look what's written here.
Yeah.
Pasuk Yud. You got it? The Kiddashtem et Shnat HaChamishim Shana. You will sanctify the 50th year. Ukratem dror ba'aretz, and you will call freedom in the land. To whom? To whom?
To the slave.
No, that's not what's written. Lechol yoshver. For all the people. So everybody's asking, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're talking about releasing the slaves. So why do you say all yoshver? Why do you say everybody? Because what is a Jewish slave? They say, "Kana eved, kana adon la'atzmo." If you buy a slave, you bought a master to yourself. That's what the Gemara is saying. "Kana eved, kana adon." What does it mean? If you have two pillows,
you have to give.
You
one.
Don't sleep with two pillows. You give one pillow to the slave. If you have only one pillow, who is going to sleep on the pillow?
The slave.
You have one steak. Who is going to eat the steak?
The slave.
In other words, is this a slave or a master?
A master.
Yeah.
So what is the idea behind it? What is the big lesson here? We are all slaves. There is nobody that is not a slave. If we can commence be slave of our desires, get so horror, and become slave of God. Now, what is being, what is freedom? Yes. That's the worst. Huh? And so what is freedom really? When we talk about freedom, is there really somebody in this world that is free, that can do whatever he wants to? Is there?
No.
Doesn't exist a thing like this. Either you are a slave of your desires, or you are a slave to your mind, to your seichel. Now, what is the best thing? To be a slave of my lust, desires, and what I want in the physical world, or to be a slave of God, which is the neshama? What is a better slave?
God.
To be a slave of the neshama. Why? Because, in a minute we'll understand that that's the way you have to think. Of course, no. A lot of people think, I am free! I don't have to keep mitzvahs, I'm free. Yes, that's looking at things. That's looking at things in a very stupid way. Why? Because, for example, I love to eat. Okay? We all eat.
Yeah.
I love ice cream. I love a good steak. Now, if I love it, I can eat it. Because I'm a free man. So I will eat 10 steaks and 2 gallons of ice cream. What do you think is going to happen to me now?
Became sick.
Oh, I like to drink. I like to drink.
Oh.
I like to drink beer. I like to drink whiskey. I will drink 3 bottles of whiskey. What's going to happen to me?
Shikor.
I'm going to be destroyed by my desires. I'm going to be ill. I'm going to be sick. And I can end in hospital. But I'm a free man. Are you? This is not freedom. So what is really freedom? Freedom is that you are the master of your desires. How you become the master of your desires? When you are a slave of God. Funny, yes? But that's the way it is. Eben Birol says, Avdei azman, avdei avadim hem. Eved Hashem hu levad hachofshi. The slaves of time are slaves of slaves. Only the slaves of God are free. And how true and clever this is. So God is telling us, Eved Ivri is the best sample for us to understand the idea of being a slave of God, a Jewish slave. As we said, when somebody buys a slave, he buys a master. Now, imagine to yourself, this guy comes to you. He is the richest man in the world. And he gives you an offer. I want you to be my slaves. So, of course, the first thing we'll say, go look for your friends in another place. What are you talking about? I'm going to be your slave. Wait a minute. Listen to me. I'm going to give you whatever you want. I'm going to give you a house in Ranana. With how many people you are? Four cars. What car? You choose. Whatever you want. Books? All the books you want.
I'm in.
You're already in. I didn't finish. Food? Whatever you like. Furniture? On me. The only thing is, I want you to be my slave. You do what I'm telling you to do. And now, the punchline is, whatever you're going to do as a slave, you are going to get rewarded for it when you finish your slavery. Now, who is going to say no to an offer like this? Don't have to worry about anything. This guy's giving you everything, and nevertheless, the work itself that you're doing, you're also going to get paid. The best offer in the world. This is the offer that God gives us. And God is not a rich man. God is the Almighty. He has got everything and He's got the power to give you everything. So God is telling him, if you listen to me, you will get rain, you will get everything. So who is stupid enough to say no? And that's the idea of Eved Ivri. Yes, there are a lot. They don't understand. I just said. Exactly the point. That's why we sit on there. They don't realize what's underneath the idea. And this is Eved Ivri. That's why the Torah is talking about Eved Ivri. This is Shabbat Lashem. It's all connected together. But unfortunately, sometimes we see things and we think it is the light, but there is no light there. Sometimes we also think we've got the light. You know, my friend Phil told me a few years ago a very, very nice story. You know, the old times, you had the train crossing, and you had a guy there that is standing, and when a train comes, he gets out and warns the people with a sign not to cross, because the train is coming. And at night, he had a lamp. So he used to wave with a lamp, so people saw the light, they were warned that they would stop. One day, a train comes, the guy gets out, and he's waving with a lamp, and the car didn't stop. And the train crushed the car and the guy was killed. So of course, they called him on trial. And he goes in. His friend awaits outside to see what's going to happen. And he comes out, says, no, what happened? Did you, did you okay? Yes, Baruch Hashem. I was acquitted, I say.
Mm-hmm.
I was acquitted. I was acquitted. Mm-hmm. He says, what did the judge ask you and what did you say? He says, well, the judge asked me if, what did I do? I told him.
What you had to do.
When I saw the train coming in, I took the lamp and I waved with this, but the car didn't stop. So the judge says, oh, if this is what you did what you had supposed to, you're not to blame. He says, but I think they've got a worried look about you. He says, you don't understand. No, I was worried the whole time. Because there is one question that I was afraid that the judge will ask.
The lamp was on or out?
Was the light in the lamp? Was the light in the lamp? Because it wasn't.
Of course. Otherwise the car would stop.
So this is also we. Sometimes we look and we think we have the light. We haven't got the light. It's only a lamp, empty, no light there. So we have to know where to look and how to look. As we said, when we're talking about the parsha, the title is... You come to Eretz Israel, v'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem. That's the reason we're here. Shabbat l'Hashem. How do we do this? Shesh shanim ta'avod, and then you do Shabbat l'Hashem. What is it built on? V'havta levacha kamocha. It's the basic of everything. Because we are here to get closer to God. How do you get closer to God? You have a relationship of father and son. That's the closest you can get. You know, you can have a divorce from your spouse, but you cannot divorce your parents. They are your parents, and they will stay your parents. And our Father in heaven is our Father. He was our Father. He is our Father. And we stay as our Father. And He loves us. And that's why He gave us this privilege to sit in Eretz Yisrael. That's why we have to give Him back our love. They said the whole idea of Shabbos is sitting together with God. Me'en olam haba. That's the idea of Shabbos.
It's based upon